Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Happy Tuesday to you, and greetings. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your day, be it 6:30 in the morning. WGOD Radio and is now heard at 6:30 in the morning, also at 5:30 in the afternoon. And I thank you for joining us here today. We're in the middle of a brand new study. Actually, it's an older study from a while ago. It's in the book of James. The book of James, verse by verse. We'll conclude this first sermon, which really was an introduction to James. We started yesterday. If you'd like to hear that, you can go to my website, WGODradio.com. You can go to the Facebook page, WGOD Radio, and look for the program dated yesterday, January the 4th, will be an introduction to James in the first part of this sermon, concluding here today. We're going to pick it up right in the middle of James telling us. It sounds preposterous on the surface. The NIV says to consider it pure joy when you fall into various trials. Who can do that? So we're going to pick it up right in the middle of this train of thought that I'm in here, that there's a purpose behind the trial. And that's why, well, two things. That's why he says to rejoice when it happens. And second of all, he says knowing that. Meaning there's a divine purpose behind it. Consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces, NIV again reads, develops endurance to abide under the hand of God. You see, a great work takes place in you when you mix tribulation and waiting on the Lord for him to see you through something. And we can see that evident in people. We see it evident in King David when he ran into Goliath. We hear it in the right, read it in the writings of David that says, when I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me. We read in Psalm 56, these things happen through abiding under the hand of God when you're undergoing a trial. This is the last part of this. If you want a copy, write to me. My email address, friends, is paul@wmiefm.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let me send you this disc if you'd like the whole thing, or go to the Facebook page or website and download it. Here's the last part of this message. How do you expect them to persevere to the end if you meddle in their life? You can't take people out of the trials that they're in. God says, keep away. I'm dealing with that person. Don't meddle in somebody else's trial. Don't remove their burden from them. I've heard of the story before about people trying to help a caterpillar out of its cocoon when it's morphing into a butterfly. And I've heard of the one guy who just got this little penknife because he saw it was struggling so bad that he just slit just one little thing on there and he killed it. And it died. Why? Because it needed the struggle to survive. I talked before about trees in a utopia and they were dying. They couldn't figure out why. Because there was no wind there. Stress is what makes a tree. Stress is what makes you. Stress makes you who you are. Stress gives you resolve. Stress makes you strong. Stress will make you stand up to the enemy. Stress will see you through the fire. That's why James says, count it as pure joy when it happens to you. Because God's at work behind the scenes. You'll never get that driving a Cadillac. Living a life of ease, never being tested, cutting bait and running. Let me simplify what I meant by that, because I got a nice car out there, and so does Fred.
But what does that mean? That means you don't cut bait when you're under a trial. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Let God see you through. Lean not on your own understanding. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Just like the song we sung. Now let's go a little further here to chapter 1. I mean, we've just got started, right? My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, I've said it before. I'm not going to talk a lot about this today. Patience is what you have. It's like a spiritual compound that gets developed in you when you abide under the hand of God and let him see you through what trial you're going through. That's what David had. You read in 1 Samuel 16 or 17 where David killed a lion and a bear. Then he ran into Goliath, and he wasn't scared of Goliath because God had developed this in him. This is a spiritual fortitude that you get when you abide under the hand of God and let him see you through what trials you're going through. There's no shortcut to it. Comes through letting God see you through the trial you're in. That is what this, the King James calls patience. I've translated it, and others call it endurance. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh. Or again, the NIV said produces. It's like pouring two things. Little bit of this, little bit of trial, little bit of humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and what comes out? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? That comes and is a result of these two things being mixed together in your life. Two parts trial, one part Almighty God seeing you through that trial. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had it. What'd they say? They said, we will not bow down and worship this image. Our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And then he said this, but if not, we still won't do it. How do they have that? What do they have? What do they have that you don't have? Endurance, hupomone, perseverance, this thing on the inside of them to understand that God's bigger than their troubles. In their problems. God wants you to have that. And you get it through trials in your life. And trouble. No matter what it is. Financial. Life-threatening. Amen. Do I got a witness in here? Life-threatening. But let patience, or this hupomone, let this patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. So again, let it have its perfect work. It means don't interfere and let it run its course. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Entire means complete. Wanting means lacking nothing. You lack no good things if you let God have his way with you this morning. Now, the next thing James is going to talk about is wisdom in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, I'm reading this time out of the New King James. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. King James says he upbraideth not. Wasn't sure if you knew what the word upbraid means. That's why I'm going with this here. Gives to all liberally and without reproach. And it will be given to him. Meaning God will not begrudgingly give you any good thing. Here, meaning wisdom. And in verse 6, James tells us how we should ask. It says, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a... He who doubts, is this you? that we're talking about? Do you doubt God over a promise? I know a fair amount of people in this church do. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man or woman suppose they will receive anything from the Lord. For he is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. What is James saying? If you lack wisdom regarding a particular thing, ask God for the wisdom. And don't waver about it. Don't be double-minded. That is, don't believe it one day and disbelieve it tomorrow. Don't give God one day to answer your prayers. Why don't you try giving him three? Abraham gave him 25 years and still fell short for not giving him enough time. I guess I could say to that, God, let me live to be 180 and then I'll do the same thing. I don't want to live to be 180. God takes unbelief and doubt very seriously. Now, this idea of taking God at his word and having faith must line up with his will. We're not talking about believing God again for a new Cadillac or a new house or anything outside of the will of God for that matter, but take God at his word regarding biblical promises and wait on the Lord. My wife was handing out to everyone in this church a book this thick of 4,000 promises by God. Has anyone here looked at their book? Oh, hallelujah, I like that. Those are the kind of things that you pray back to God. If any, lack of wisdom is another, is one of them here. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. When you pray, ask God for something, pray his word back to him, and this prayer is birthed right from the word of God. And it's biblical, and it's guaranteed to work every time. Pray God's word back to him, and I guarantee you it'll work. Might not be in your time. Read the end of Hebrews chapter 11. They died without seeing the promise. They still got it, though. Do you trust God like that? Even if you don't see the answer to it. Like the salvation of your son or daughter? God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. That's praying the will of God back. Here's a few examples. The Bible says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Right, there's a promise. Right out of this book, it's in the book she accumulated. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now when you pray and ask God for something, pray his word back to him. And this prayer, again, is guaranteed, it's biblical. Perhaps your prayer would go something like, Lord, please don't give up on me now. Please continue working in me, making me holy, making me more and more like Jesus every day. Amen. So you pray it, you believe it, you don't doubt or waver or be double-minded about it. And you wait on the Lord. And renew your strength, right? Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. Here's another one. If God be for you, who can be against you? This is a guaranteed fact. If you have received Jesus Christ, God is on your side. Take that to the bank. God is for you. Pray God's word back to him. So your prayer is, Lord, according to your word, you are for me. Therefore, I will not doubt and I will not fear. And it's even okay to pray, Lord, help me with my doubts. We're all human. Even the man in the presence of the Lord said, what, when his child was sick, he said, help thou my unbelief. He'll help you. He'll give you the strength. It's all right to admit and be real when you have doubts. But once God comes through and delivers you in your life, don't doubt again. So this is what happened to the Jews, is that God kept delivering them, and they still had doubts, and that is unacceptable to him. Don't have doubts anymore once he's seen you through something. There's a difference between the two. Okay, let's take a moment here and look at verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Yikes. That is, for all of you who doubt, all of us, me too, who doubt the promises of God and who doubt that God will honor and keep his word and his promises concerning you, that James just called you an unstable person. Here are some unfortunate definitions of this word. Unstable means unsteady. You're an unsettled person. You're full of instability. I mean, those are words that you use when you can't trust someone, right? They're unstable. This person can't be released from the hospital. They're unstable. This person can't be trusted with a new job. He's unreliable, unstable. He's unsteady, unsettled. That's what he calls a double-minded man. He's unstable. Not only that, it says he is unstable in all of their ways. Don't wear this like a badge of honor and say, well, I am unworthy. You are worthy. Jesus Christ has made you worthy. Remember, it's unbelief that kept the Israelites out of the promised land. Don't let unbelief keep you out either. Unbelief is going to keep you out. Okay, one last theme today, and then we're done. Verse 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he's tried, all right, two different Greek words. Temptation is the word perasmos, means put to the test. When he's tried, that's dokimos, put in the fire, approved. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. All right, tried by whom? God or Satan? The answer? Yes. Genesis 22:1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. He said, go and take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. God tested Abraham. God can test you if he feels like it. It is biblical if God tests you or to try you. It's like going down here to the Ford dealer and getting in that new Mustang. I'm going to try it. And that's what God does with you too. He gets in and he cranks up the engine. What's your red line at today? He'll push you all the way to your red line. Maybe beyond the red line. At least beyond where you think it is. Where you think the red line is and where God has put it are two different things. You think your engine blows up at 3,000 RPM. God says 12,000 RPM. So here you are. You're at 5. You're at 6. You're waiting to fall apart. And God's still got his foot there on the gas pedal. You're up to 9,000, 10,000, 11,000 RPM. Uh-oh, look out. But that's what God does with you. He tries you like a new car. But the great thing is, he's created you, and he doesn't do it for himself because he doesn't know. He does it for you so that you will see what you're made of and what you consist of. That's why God tries you, for your benefit, not for his. He's created you. He knows where your red line is. And I'll tell you what, by golly, after this happens, now you know where your red line is too. It ain't the same place where you thought that it was. And then some stinking devil comes on and pushes your red line up to 3,000 or 4,000. What happens then? That's when you spit in his eye. Because you know where it is, because God's shown it to you. Right? Say you cut off the engine, though, while God was testing you. Say you turn the light on in that dark room while God was test driving you. And now you think your red line is 5,000 because your neighbor's is 5,000. So here comes Satan pushing on the gas pedal, and you get to 5,000. And what do? You quit. But the man who sits and woman who abides under the mighty hand of God and let God show you your red line is over 12,000. So when the enemy comes and steps on your gas pedal, David came up to someone 9'6". Everyone else in the camp trembled. And David scoffed at him because he knew that God was for him. And he wasn't going to stumble in that way. God wants you to have the same air of spiritual arrogance about you. That's why James says to rejoice when it happens to you. God's doing a great work in you. Let me tell you, God's doing a great work in every one of you. Everyone who hears this on the radio and on the podcast, God's doing a great work in you. Let him see you through whatever it is that you're going through. Okay, tried by who? That's the first one. Luke 22:31. The Lord says, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now, who tested him that time? Satan. Funny, too, that word asked. The word really means demand. Satan has demanded you. That's what Jesus says. I'm just telling you what the words mean, their original language. Maybe the translator was a little scared to put that there. I don't know. Word means to ask passionately or to demand something. It's almost always translated as demanded. Satan has demanded you. You wouldn't think that would carry any weight. Satan has asked for you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Again, the Lord Jesus made this promise to the church at Smyrna. Revelation 2:10, do not fear any of those things you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison so that you may be what? Tested for 10 days. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Isn't that funny? We just read about the crown of life, didn't we? Just a second ago. Blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he's tried, he will receive the crown of life. And now Jesus said, you're going to be tested and have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So either God or Satan could test you. Notice too in verse 12, it doesn't say if he's tried, he will receive the crown of life. It says when he's tried. And when he passes the test, then he'll receive the crown of life. When Satan tests you, it's designed to take you out. When God tests you, it's to show you what you're made of, not him. He already knows what you're made of. He wants you to see what you're made of. And when God brings testing your way, it's a good thing, which is why James says what he does. Okay, we'll wrap it up here. I leave you with this verse, John 12:25. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it unto life eternal. Now, all depending on where you fall regarding that verse will determine the tests and trials that come your way. Me personally, ask my wife, she'll tell you, I cannot be tempted by broccoli. You can hang it in front of my nose all day long. You're not going to test me with that. Your life ought to be like broccoli. Really quick, let me show you a life that has tasted this victory, okay? And that is endurance in action. Two verses. Write them down. You can read them later. The first one is Psalm 56, verse 9. It says this, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. Notice this, when and then. I got a sermon on if and then. This one is when and then. When I do this, this is going to happen. He says, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. Get the fortitude this guy has. When I cry out to you, my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. Verse 11, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Psalm 56, 9 and 10. And this one, Psalm 18, verse 28 and 29. Verse 29, it says, for by you I can run against the troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. Both from David. Where do you suppose he learned this? I'll tell you, and I won't even leave you hanging. You read the introduction to both of these psalms, and the answer is in both of them. Psalm 56, it says this. It says, a miktam of David when the Philistines captured him in Gath. That's when he said this. The other one is the intro to Psalm 18. It says, who spoke the words of this psalm on the day the Lord delivered him from all of his enemies. That's when David wrote these. When God gave him the victory in the trials that he was enduring.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Together.